Thank you. song to teach you this morning, church. I'm so glad that we serve a God, we worship a God who was faithful yesterday, today, and forever, because it reminds me when I'm up against a situation that I can't overcome in my own strength. God can. When I'm staring at a situation, facing a battle that I can see no way through, God can. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He's made ways before. He'll make them again. We worship the great I am. He can. Somebody say, the great I am can. Yeah. That's the name of this song. Let's worship.
Every battle's yours before it even comes. When the arrows fly, you will stand in front. You will make a way where there isn't one. And though it's hard to see, I still believe it's done. I can't do it, but the can't move the mountain, you can't.
to only you. Who else would I run to? Who else would I call? Oh, I can do it. You can. I know you can. I can. You can. I can, but you can. Ooh, just rest in that today. I can't, but he can. I can't, but he can.
You gotta say it. I can't, but he
so
can.
So I'm trusting you, cause I know you'll make it move.
I can't.
I can't too.
But he can.
The great I am. I can't do it, but the great I am. You can move the mountain. You can split the ocean. I can do it, but the great I am. And you will fight my battle. You've got this in your hands. I can do it, but the
I can't do it, but guess who can? The great I am. And who is the great I am? Well, he's our Father, and more than likely you've heard about him by people using the name Father or God or the great I am or Yahweh or Adonai, or Elohim. He's got many names. And he reveals himself to us in three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when you see people doing this, that's what that means. Now I know that's, you know, kindergarten heavenly academia to, you know what that means. But I have to assume that there are people on a very brand new journey with Jesus. And if we've got people on a brand new journey with Jesus, well, then we can't expect them to know everything we know. Matter of fact, we've been on this journey for quite some time together, right? I want to thank Twanity, and I want to say thank you to Kong. $10 donation from Kong. Good morning, brother, and Rise Up family. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Wishing love, peace, and God's blessings for all. And Twanity, Jeremy, thank you for this amazing show. All glory to God. Remember, I didn't want to do it. That brought me closer to my Lord and Savior, with a generous $250 donation. It is so amazing. You know, I wake up in the morning sometimes, and today was one of them where I felt guilty. I felt guilty because for the last few days, maybe 5 days or so, I haven't given God much more time than we've given him here on Rise Up. And you know, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, 6 years ago, do you spend time with God? I'd be like, I spend like an hour a day with him every day. Which is amazing. And I love it. But the more I travel this journey with Jesus, I'm realizing that an hour is not enough. Not because he commands more than an hour, but because my spirit wants more than an hour. And sometimes life, well, I should say sometimes we allow life here on earth to get in the way. And the greatest part about that is recognizing that. Saying to yourself, wow, I feel like life is getting in the way, or I'm letting life get in the way of my relationship with Jesus to flourish and further on, to further itself and to flourish, I should say. And so this morning when I woke up, I said to myself, wow, I need to spend more time with God because I yearn for it. My soul yearns for it. So I messaged my son, Jaden, before school today. And I said, would you like to hang out tonight after school? This evening? After I get home from work and after school? He said, well, it depends on how much homework I have to do. He said, but yeah, I'd love to if I don't have, you know, a lot of homework to do. I said, cool, what do you want to do? He said, whatever. And I said, you want to go shoot some goals, you know, because soccer. You want to go shoot some goals or something? And he's like, yeah, we can do that. And I was like, okay. And then I said, no. I mean, we're going to go shoot goals, definitely. But we're also going to take that time to worship together. So I'm going to put on either, you know, one of these Rise Up shows, or I'm going to put on some Ray Comfort or something. And him and I are going to spend some time together tonight with God with us. Right? So Logan said we need to spend more time with Jesus. And it's not that we, like, he commands, you spend more time with me or I'm going to smite you. It's not that. It's my soul yearns to spend more time with him. And when you don't, when you're not doing it, you feel it. You feel distant. But again, you would have asked me years ago if I ever would have seen myself spending even an hour every day together with God. I would have said, well, that seems a little bit much. Now I'm saying, wow, that doesn't seem like much at all. I need more, right? So it is a good feeling, and it's a good revelation to have. And I thank God for that this morning. Folks, it is 16 minutes past the hour here on September 12th, year of our Lord, 2024. And with September 11th being yesterday and all of those feelings being brought back up, I want you to remember September 12th, 2021. I want you to remember how we felt, how we were as a country, September 12th, 2001. If I said 2021, I was sorry, I meant 2001. And there was a sense of togetherness and unity and patriotism that we had back then. And the more I think about it, I say, well, you know what? We can have that same kind of unity and togetherness in the name of Jesus Christ and feel closer than we ever did on September 12th, 2001. So I'm going to ask you to take this link and email it to friends and family, maybe your church congregation. You can even take this link on your phone and you can text it. Quick text to people. Hey, I think maybe you should join in on the show this morning. And obviously, you can always share it on social media. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's get into today's word. Open up your verses of the day. And if you don't follow and get the verse of the day for whatever reason, first of all, I'm going to ask why. Second of all, just open your Bibles to 1 John. Okay? That's where we're going to be reading out of today. 1 John, New Testament, right after 1 and 2 Peter, okay? Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to first and foremost thank you for the revelation this morning that my soul is yearning for you. to spend more time with you as I further my journey with your only begotten Son who was sent here to create a pathway back to you. It's such a great feeling to realize that I want more time with you. Whereas maybe in the past I would have thought about this feeling and said, wow, I'm guilty of not spending more time with you. Now I am so excited and joyful that you are guiding me to want to spend more time with you, that I feel like I want more of you. That's a great feeling. It's a great revelation. And I thank you for that this morning, Lord. I pray that that same feeling reverberates through the digital world into each and every home of the people that are watching today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit touch their hearts so that they desire the same. Too much of anything here on earth is bad, but there's no such thing as too much spending time with you. And that's what we yearn for. Lord, today, as we get into this message of heavenly hindsight, Lord, let us look back on our journey with Jesus. Let us think about the present with Jesus. And Lord, if it is according to your will, give us heavenly foresight of our journey with Jesus. We thank you for today. We thank you for healing that you are bringing daily to the Rise Up and LFA family and to the world. And we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to you like this every morning, every hour of every day. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, another way that you are furthering your journey with Jesus is if when you're praying, you truly block out everything. Like when I'm praying in the mornings on Rise Up, unless I address you in the audience as part of the prayer, I don't think of anything except for talking with God. I don't think of you. I don't think of my family. I don't think of my problems. I don't think of the bills. I don't think of tomorrow. I don't think of yesterday. I think of right now in the moment with God standing in front of the throne when I pray. And the further I get on my journey with Jesus, the more I want to stay there. Like I said yesterday, the more I just want to keep my eyes closed and focus on the throne, focus on my relationship with him, focus on maybe reaching out my hand and just having him gently grasp it so I can feel that peace and that joy that he gives, that only he gives, the great I am. I'm going to read from 1 John, Living the 66 Books of the Bible. And while I'm doing that, you can either open up your verse of the day today, or you can open up to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to be reading from 14 and 15. So if somebody wants to kindly put that in the chat, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We're never too old to do what the Lord ordains every day. The Apostle John, last of the original disciples, was elderly, but he was as diligent as ever in watching over the house churches of Ephesus and of Asia Minor. He wrote the fourth gospel in old age. Then he reinforced it in this circular letter to his church. Churches. John had lived long enough to know two things. First, God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. That's John 3:16. In the parallel verse of 1 John 3:16, John took it a step further. We should love others enough to give our lives for them, no matter who they are, whether by dying or by living for them. John was concerned about disunity. Amazing, isn't it? How God works and guides us through teaching and guides us through verses in the morning. Because the first thing that we talked about this morning was unity in Jesus. I had not read this until right now. And it says, John was concerned about disunity in his churches. Churches that were also being threatened by false teachers. So he stressed the need to keep doctrine pure and love strong. Those were his two great themes in this letter. And what is love? It's the quality of spotting a need in someone's life and meeting it. Is there somebody you know in your life that needs love? Maybe you thought or maybe you think right now that they're not deserving of your love. Maybe somebody who has hurt you over and over again and you see that they are, and you have pity for them because you see that they are hurting and that they need someone to love them, but you feel that they don't deserve it because of their actions. Pure Blood Sailor donated $50, said, "This donation is long overdue. I watch this show every day while at work, and I truly appreciate how it strengthened my own desire to become a better Christian. Thank you for sharing it with us." Well, Pure Blood, it is my honor. And every time I see a donation, I feel like I'm going to cry. I feel like my throat is lumping up, and I feel some tears behind my eyes because I know how hard it is to do that. And I know that tithing like that is some people's best way of saying, "I support this." So I just want to thank you personally for that. Love is the quality of spotting a need in someone's life and meeting it. But whoever has this world's goods, he wrote, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God even abide in him? Because you have to ask yourself, what would Jesus do, right? And I think we know what Jesus would do. John's definition of love is a reversal of the world's view, which says, come meet my need. As we grow in Christ, he gives us special eyesight. Hindsight, talking about it this morning. To spot those with needs. Physical, material, emotional, relational, or spiritual. He also provides insight into meeting that need. Special eyesight to see, special insight to act. That is biblical love. That, my friends, is biblical love. We have 1,000 people watching God's word right now, receiving God's word into their homes. What a blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, please continue to share this message out because we can never have enough people studying the word of God together. I mean, we are blessed. I'm going to bring up the verse of the day today, verses, I should say, so we can read them together. But I'm going to read all of it in order to get context. And we're going to be reading from the complete Jewish Bible as we've been doing. So let's pull that up now. Chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah has God as his father. And everyone who loves a father loves his offspring too. Here is how we know that we love God's children. When we love God, we also do what he commands. For loving God means obeying his commands. Moreover, his commands are not burdensome. Well, that's true, isn't it? Everything that was heavy feels a lot lighter today, doesn't it? Thank you, Chris. God bless you. Because everything which has God as its Father overcomes the world. And this is what victoriously overcomes the world. Our trust. Who does overcome the world if not the person who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God? No time in history has that happened. He is the one who came by means of water and blood. Yeshua, the Messiah. Not with water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. There are three witnesses: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. This part really got me. If we accept human witnesses, God's witness is stronger, because it is the witness which God has given about his Son. Let's stop right there for a minute. If you are in court, or if you are going to accuse somebody of something, outside of video evidence, which could be manipulated by AI these days, what is the most trustworthy source on a prosecution's side, or what is the most trustworthy source on a defense side in a courtroom? Eyewitness testimony. So if we're going to have eyewitness testimony in this world, in our earthly atmosphere, being the most trustworthy thing that we can have in a courtroom or accusing somebody or defending somebody, God says, how much more stronger is the witness of God about his Son, about the Holy Spirit? That part really got me this morning. If we accept human witnesses, God's witness is stronger, because it is the witness which God has given about his Son. Pretty incredible. Those who keep trusting in the Son of God have this witness in them. Those who do not keep trusting God have made him out to be a liar, because they have not trusted in the witness which God has given about his Son. And this is the witness. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Those who have the Son have the life. Those who do not have the Son of God do not have the life. I have written you these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. You who keep trusting in the person and the power of the Son of God. And this is the verse of the day that we finally arrived to. Verse 14. This is the confidence we have in his presence. If we ask anything that accords with his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, then we know that we have what we have asked for in him. Incredible. Now, this is not saying that God, the Father, the Creator, Yahweh, is a personal genie that you can rub the lamp of Yeshua and God comes out and says, oh, what can I grant for you today? You see, when God answers your prayers, he answers them, A, according to his will, B, on his time, and C, in ways that you may not be looking for. And let me bring this full circle with D, If it's according to his will, he gives it to you right when you ask for it. Think about that. So if you ask for a promotion at your job, and it's according to God's will, if God wants you promoted in your career, in your job, what he may do is give you the confidence that is needed in order to show up and show out on your job. He may bring that in a way of helping somebody else. Say somebody else is in dire need of help at your job, and you help them out of the kindness of your heart. And in a what would Jesus do moment, you interject. You don't just stand back and watch, and you help them. And a supervisor sees you do that, sees that wonderful act of kindness that you just displayed, and comes out on the floor and says, that's the kind of leader we need on this floor. Would you please lead this team? So God does this in ways that you don't understand maybe, and that you're maybe not looking for. But when you're asking and praying for certain things in your life, and it is in accordance with God's will, then you ask God to reveal to you how he is answering that prayer. Because it's never how you think it's going to be. Literally, ever. If you've asked for patience, do you know what God's going to do? He's going to put you in situations where patience is the only way out. So if you are lacking the spirit of the fruit, which is patience, God's going to put you in a situation that you are uncomfortable in so that you can show that heavenly patience, that he is providing an opportunity for you to water and seed and grow. I should have said seed, water, and grow. If you ask God to give you a heart of forgiveness, do you know what God's going to do? He's going to put you in situations where you are forced to forgive or to lash out. And it's going to be an uncomfortable situation for you because it must be an uncomfortable situation for you in order to adopt the blessing that God has given you, in order to succeed at the opportunity that he's given you, in order for you to walk through the door that he's opening for you. He's not just going to say, well, there you go, you have forgiveness now. Rub this lamp when you're ready for the next one. No. But if it is according to his will, he answers it immediately. It's not something you have to wait for. It's something that you have to look for. Why are you doing this, God? What is it? I'm going to tell you a story. Who's ready for story time? I'm ready for story time. All right. Yesterday, I was having I wouldn't say a rough or a difficult day, but I was having a day where I was thinking about New Hampshire. And I think it's because we're getting into fall. We're leaving this beautiful summer scene behind me and we're getting into fall. And like, there's literally no place better to be than New Hampshire or Vermont or those states in the fall for foliage, right? And I was having a rough day yesterday. Not, I wouldn't say rough. I don't want to use that word. I was just, it was on my mind a lot yesterday. It was kind of weighing on me that I missed home, right? And I was thinking of my daughter, whom is growing up very quick, and I don't get to be a part of her daily life physically. Now, I know I could call her and text her and all that. I get it. And my daughter ended up calling me yesterday, which was like, thank you, God. I was thinking about this, and then she calls, trying to set up a date where she could come out and see everybody, right? Which felt so good to me. Well, after dinner, the kids are getting ready to do their chores. And I looked at my wife, and I did one of these, right? Anybody who's got a lot of kids and you want to get out of the room where the kids are, you speak without speaking, right? I looked at my wife, and I went, and she's like, and she got up and followed me outside. Now, she took about 30 seconds longer than I did to get outside. And our new house has a garage. Our old house didn't have a garage. Thank God. Because I've never had a garage where I could park my vehicle in the winter. I'm always out there scraping off ice. So God blessed us with a home where we could put a car, put our vehicles in during the winter. So I opened up the garage doors. And I'm standing at the edge of the garage door and I'm looking outside. And I'm looking at the neighborhood. I'm looking at the neighbors, their houses, people out walking. And my wife came out and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Just looking." And she said, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, actually, I'm really good." She goes, "What are you thinking about?" I said, "Well, honestly, all day I was thinking about New Hampshire. And I was thinking about being there for apple picking like we always have done with our kids. Picking pumpkins, getting ready for fall, you know, carving the jack-o'-lanterns together, going and looking at foliage, taking family pictures together, missing my daughter." I said, "I was thinking about that all day today." And she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm actually really good." So what had happened was in that 30 seconds, because I was going to like not vent to her, but I was going to kind of like, you know, just tell her, "Man, I really am thinking about this all day today." And I was going to unload like all these feelings that I was having yesterday. And within the 30 seconds that I walked out the door and was standing there at the edge of the garage, looking out over our new home that God has brought us to, and the time that she came out and stepped and sat down next to me, God brought peace and joy to my heart. So you ask, how did that happen? What did you think of? What brought peace and joy to your heart? And I'm going to tell you. I wrote this down for you this morning. My wife, let me show you a picture here. Sorry I didn't put it on the big screen here, but I think I can do it like this, just easy. My wife bought this thing at Hobby Lobby, which we all love, right? And she put it up in our home. And I saw it yesterday for the first time. So let me show you what this says. Can you read that? I'll leave it on the screen here for a minute. Let me read it for you. "I still remember the days I prayed for the things that I have." And when I read that, and walked outside, everything hit at once. Now, these are happy tears. "I still remember the days that I pray for everything, or that I prayed for everything that I have now." Why is that bringing tears to my eyes? Well, I'll tell you why. because I never prayed for a nice home. I never prayed for this job. I never prayed for my truck or my wife's car. I never prayed for anything that we have materially. What I prayed for was a relationship with my father that I never had. I prayed for my daughter to have a relationship with her mother that she never had. I prayed for my children to be around family that they never had. And I prayed for health, joy, and peace. And when I was in New Hampshire, I literally almost got in a fight every day because I could not stand the negative, angry, rude, and mean, ungodly people that live throughout New England. And every one of those things that I prayed for, I have. And I haven't been angry enough to want to fight somebody since I left. My daughter has a relationship with her mother because she stayed. She never had that. She only had a relationship with me. My children are all very healthy. I have a relationship with my dad. And my children are spending time with family they're seeing their family so much here. It's like we've already seen family more in 3 months here than we saw in a year back home. So I still remember the days that I prayed for the things that I have now. Now, let me read something else to you that I wrote down. Looking back at all the wins and all the answered prayers, it was really God. It was really God. It was never luck. Ever. It was always God. Once you are a saved person, and once you are made new in Jesus Christ, you never dwell on the past in a negative light anymore. Which is weird, because when you don't have Christ in your life, all you do is dwell on the past or dwell on the bad things in your life. That's all you do. I remember going, wow, if there was no such thing as bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all, right? When it rains, it pours. Oh, here it comes, dumping on me again. That's what you think about all the time when you don't have Christ. But when you have Christ, you don't dwell on the past. You look back on the past with heavenly hindsight. And you thank God for where you were, where you are, and then you ask for heavenly foresight, and you look forward to where you're going. And do you know why that is? It's because when you don't have Christ, you feel that you deserve everything. I've been busting my butt. I deserve this. But when you're in Christ, you don't dwell on the bad. You appreciate the good because you know you don't deserve it. I don't deserve a nice house with a healthy family. I don't deserve mercy and grace from the Lord. I don't deserve a journey with Jesus. Now, you might say, yes, you do, Jeremy, and I'm going to tell you, no, I don't, and neither do you, and that's the point, that it is given to you by grace. So when you have that heavenly hindsight that I had yesterday, everything starts clicking in a new light. Everything. Don't dwell on the past. Look back on what God has done and just thank Him for it. Wow. Because you never want to be who you were, right? You never want to be who you were at one time. Now, I saved something this morning that I was kind of watching as I was scrolling through and doing my morning routine, and I'd like to play that for you right now if I could. This is really cute. This is a little boy bringing his sisters to Christ. I love this. Let's pop it on the screen and let's give it a play.
That you died on the cross, and I believe that you rose from the dead, then he'll come into your heart and you can go to heaven. Do you want to do that? Okay. Let's bow our heads. Okay. Let's say, Dear Lord, I pray that Jesus will come into my heart. And I believe that you died on the cross, and that you rose from the dead, and I believe that you will live in my heart. In my
heart. In Jesus' name. Ben!
Yay!
Hey Lord, Sally believes that you died on the cross to forgive her sins and rose up 3 days later, Lord. Please save her and please welcome her to your family, Lord. And please, just help her be in God's family, Lord. She believes that you did everything that you said in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so, and she loves you very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Sonny, that was a big deal what you just did. That was a big deal. That was the best thing you're probably going to do in your entire life.
That little boy saving his sisters. How cute is that? How absolutely precious and cute is that? Now, I know that it is not Monday and it's not Friday. I know that. But there is a Living Waters video that was put out yesterday about the debate, and Ray Comfort is obviously narrating this. Now, it's 16 minutes long, so we're not going to get through the whole thing, but I thought it would be fun to watch after this message today, because we don't want to get buried in Ray Comfort and Living Waters, or we don't want them to be buried. We want to show everyone.
Say
so
that Christians.
I believe in God. I am Christian.
I'm a Protestant.
To really be true to the teachings of Christ, one must think of our faith as a verb.
But the subject of their religious convictions wasn't even mentioned in the debate. Listen to high-profile atheists show their understandable frustration about this, and then listen to them explain an important biblical principle that most Christians don't understand.
I would have a tremendous amount of respect for him in this very specific instance if he just told the truth and was like, you know what, I'm not personally religious, but I really respect the freedom of religion. I respect the...
He would never say that, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing that drives me crazy. It's like, we all know you're not actually religious. No. And that's fine. That's fine. In fact, the religious people who are praying for you and support
anything.
You, they probably know you're not religious either. And
you
they think it's
anything.
Fine. You think evangelicals don't know that Donald Trump is not a man of faith?
For a Republican,
you know?
Their huge part of their base is very religious and cares about his relationship to God. So in my opinion, what I was going to tell you, Anna, is I think as usual, it's half and half. I think half of evangelicals probably think he really is a man of God just because they want to believe it. even though there's absolutely no evidence. A lot of evangelicals say, look, obviously he's a bad guy in his personal life, he's sleeping with a porn, but God works in mysterious ways, and God sometimes chooses messengers that we might not agree with, like David. David did all these wrong things in the Bible, but
David
God
was a bad boy.
Yeah, and God chose him anyway. So Trump's just like David.
No. Think about this. Even atheists can understand what many Christians can't, and that is God uses flawed vessels to fulfill his purposes. This is what Charlie Kirk is saying.
God came to Samson while he was in the bed with a prostitute. Samson took the jaw of a donkey and killed 400 Philistines. He wasn't exactly your perfect mold, but God used him for a purpose. The people that are Trump supporters that are Christians, they know Donald Trump's faults. They could recite them back to you, just like they know their own faults. But he also has virtues. What are the virtues? He's awfully courageous. Would you keep on fighting if you're facing 700 years in federal prison time and your family's business empire is at risk of being taken from you? Would you keep on running for office and keep on fighting if everything you've done is in front of you? I don't know if I would. Secondly, his love of country, I think, is unparalleled, unprecedented. Finally, but policy is far more important than personality.
Amen.
I'll prove it to you.
Amen.
Can you acknowledge that Donald Trump delivered 3 Supreme Court justices and gave us the overturn of Roe versus Wade? He never would have repealed Roe versus Wade. The embassy would not have been moved to Jerusalem. We wouldn't have had peace in the Middle East. I could go on. I think we proved that the first Trump presidency, flawed man, excellent policy, fulfilling his promises.
Trump went on to explain how he thinks religion is such a great thing because were it not for the concept of heaven, would he really have an incentive to be a good person? Let's watch.
When you look at all of this bad stuff going on, they have nothing to look up to. They have no God. They have no anything. They kill people, they beat people, they push people into subways. There's just nothing there. Religion is such a great thing. It keeps you, you know, there's something to be good about. You want to be good. It's so important, and I don't know if it's explained right. I don't know if I'm explaining it right during now, but when you have something like that, you want to be good. You want to go to heaven.
Amen.
Okay? You want to go to heaven. If you don't have heaven, you almost say, what's the reason? Why do I have to be good? Let's not be good. What difference does it make?
Look, I'm an atheist, and I actually agree with what he said there.
He thinks, well, if there's no heaven, what's the point of being good? Why don't I just rob you? Why don't I just take everything from you, and then you can't do anything about it, and I'm not even going to get punished for it? That is quintessential Donald J. Trump. And guys, if you're MAGA or whatever, or if you're an independent, you could tell from that answer that he's never opened the Bible, right?
I want to explain why.
Wow.
I partly agree with what he said in that last video. Although I think what I'm trying to say is a little different from what he's saying. I don't think that all people need religious doctrine or the promise of heaven in order to be good moral people. And I say that because as someone who doesn't believe in organized religion, I think I'm a pretty good moral person and I don't need the fear of hell or...
Hey, you know who else didn't believe in organized religion? Jesus. Jesus also didn't believe in organized religion. You're halfway there, Anna. Come on, we know you. We know you got it in you.
Be a good moral person.
And that's the great deception, not only among atheists, but among the whole world. Most people think you have to be a good person to get to heaven, when the Bible says the exact opposite.
You know, you're supposed to go to heaven, ideally not hell, but you're supposed to go to heaven if you're good.
Make sure you watch until the end to hear an amazing statement from this woman and Richard Dawkins, the world's most famous atheist, saying how they woefully regret the fact that Christianity is on the decline. What do you think of Jesus?
Jesus was a strong man. He did something that no one else could do, whereas people were afraid to do.
What did he do?
He sacrificed himself.
What does that mean?
Sacrifice, you believe in the cause. Jesus was a revolutionist. He believed in the cause and he believed what he wanted to do for the people and he did it for them.
How can his death on the cross help me?
His death on the cross can help you by uplifting you. He's telling you to uplift yourself and to go forth with this with positivity.
Do you obey his teachings? He said if you obey his teachings, you're like a man who built his house on rock.
Oui.
And if you don't, you're like a man who built his house on sand, and when storms come, you're going to collapse. Yeah. So what's going to happen to you when you die?
I'm going somewhere righteous.
Where's that?
I don't know yet.
You don't know?
I didn't die yet.
Could you be going to hell?
I don't believe I'm going to hell.
Doing anything that God would frown upon?
if I'm honest with God and everything that's frowned upon, I don't have to hide it from him.
Are you a good person morally?
Can't hide it from him.
Yes.
When did you last look at pornography?
Probably like a week ago.
What do you think God thinks of that?
God would probably be like, hey. God's like, hey, hey. It's nature, but like, to be honest, I'm cool on it.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, so now I go for, like, I look at women that like me and not for what I like.
I'm going to try and give you credible evidence. Do you believe in God's existence?
Not sure.
Every building has a builder.
Yeah.
Every painting has a painter.
Right, yeah.
No painting could have painted itself. No building could have built itself. That's scientifically impossible.
Right.
So creation tells you there's a creator.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Now you know God exists.
I suppose, yeah.
Could you be doing something you know God would frown upon?
Yeah. I'm not proud of any of those things. That's why I've started to be interested in God, because I'm not proud of any of the bad things I've done.
Okay, so I'm just taking a different direction to try and convince you that Christianity has credibility. What I'm doing is addressing your conscience rather than your intellect. When I talked about God's existence, I was addressing your intellect. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking about morality, I'm addressing your conscience. So we'll just stay there for a minute. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. How many lies have you told in your life?
How many lies? I can't even keep count.
What do you call someone who tells countless lies?
Countless lies? A sinner.
A liar.
A liar, yeah, that too.
So what are you?
I've lied, yeah. I'm a liar.
Do you still think you're a good person?
Yes.
Have you ever stolen something, even if it's small, in your whole life?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
So what are you?
I've stolen, but I'm not a thief.
You're a lying thief. Come on, call it what it is.
I've called it what it is back then. Yes, I was a lying thief, but...
Yeah, everything's in the past. You tell a judge, it was back then I robbed the bank, he's going to say, yeah, everything's in the past, you're going to jail. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Do you love your mum?
I love my mother.
Do you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No, I never use my mother as in vain.
Because you respect her.
I love her.
Yeah, but you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word. Ronnie, have you had sex before marriage?
Yes.
So here's a quick summation of your court case on Judgment Day. Ronnie, you've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating adulterer at heart who's self-righteous, which is a sin in God's eyes, and saying you're a good person when you're not. You're like...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll pick that back up tomorrow on Friday. We got about 8 minutes left of that, and I want to finish that. So we're going to finish that tomorrow along with whatever video they put out today or in the morning. As for Rise Up, it is time to finish because Mike Crispy and Unafraid starts right now. But I am so grateful you guys got to join in today on this show. This show is important for all of you, for me, for you, for everyone watching. Because once in a while, we need to stop and smell the roses. We need to stop and have heavenly hindsight to what God has done in our lives, what he's doing in our lives right now, and what he's going to continue to do. So, I hope the message helped. I love you. God bless you. Have a great morning. Enjoy this music on the way out. Enjoy Mike Crispy next, and I'll see you at 11 o'clock for Live from America. See you later.